God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. What would you do if you fell off of a ship mid-Pacific Ocean and the ship continued on without you? What would you do? Well, I think you'd probably dog paddle. I think you might try to remember everything you learned in Junior Sailors Organization. I think you would try everything you could. And then at some point, I think you would probably pray. I think most people would. You say, well, Will, what if he's an agnostic? I think he'd take a chance. Someone says, well, what if a person's an atheist? Do you think he would not consider praying? Do you think he'd not cry out to God almost involuntarily? Now, it may be there would be some who would spend an hour in the ocean before drowning and never think to pray. But I think most people instinctively, whether you think it's right or wrong, they would pray. What would anybody do? I think they would pray. I was talking to someone recently about a man I know who used to work with professional athletes, and he would give them the gospel. You know, these young men, 22, 23, 24, making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in the NFL. And then the average player in the NFL gets cut after the first 5 years or so, I would suppose. They're not a household name unless you really keep up with the game. And then they, you know, they may or may not have any education to fall back on, any other job other than being very gifted as an athlete to fall back on. And he said, you know, a lot of times did this man that gave the gospel to professional athletes, he said many times these young men would come to Christ after they'd been cut because they realized that they did need God. When you have the world by the tail on a downward pull, you don't need God. You don't need anything. You have money. You have friends, you think. You have fame. You have everything. When all that's gone, you realize that maybe you're more needy than you realized. And when such athletes realize that this man was not interested in their fame, he was interested in their souls, that he genuinely loved them with the love of Christ, well, then they were open. You know, the truth is, prayer is for those who are needy and know it. Psalm 102 says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Prayer is for those who are needy and know it. That's evidenced by the word cry. He doesn't just say prayer. He says a synonym is cry. This is an urgency. The superscription is a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. Well, I know what that feels like. And I also know, thankfully, the relief of soul to know that there's someone who is greater than I am and knows more than I do, and that is God. Verse 17 says, he, God, will regard the prayer of the destitute, that is the naked, literally the poor, and not despise their prayer. Well, there were times when men like David, they cried, they were in trouble. Was David poor? Well, not financially, but all of us at some point come beyond the abilities of our resources. We outstrip our resources. We are poor. Verse 2 says, when I am in trouble. So you have trouble. You know, we're not talking about virtue. Sometimes our troubles are actually self-inflicted. In verse 10, the psalmist indicates, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. That's where this trouble came from. I have strayed from you and you are correcting me. You know, we all want to have noble injuries. We want to be needy, but in a noble way. I remember growing up in college, I used to hope I would come home after Christmas break with a broken leg that I had broken, you know, on some double black diamond somewhere in the Rockies, or maybe, you know, trying to launch off Corbett's Kalura in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And my schoolmates would say, hey, Rice, what happened to you? And I'd say, I broke my leg. I took a 50-foot jump and it just didn't land well. That would be, you know, I'd have a broken leg, but it would make me a hero, not a martyr, a hero. But with my luck, I would probably slip on a banana peel in my kitchen in Tennessee and then have to make up a story when I got back to college. Who wants to admit that your need is a broken leg because of a banana peel? So this is trouble. This is not virtue. Sometimes we make a list to remember what our prayers are. And I'm not against having a prayer list, but I must tell you, when a person is afflicted, when a person is troubled, when a person is saying, God, answer me speedily, as did the psalmist in verse 2, you don't need a list to remind you of what you need. Prayer is for those, and prayer is from those who are needy and know it. There is a sense of urgency here. In verse 2, he says, "Incline thine ear unto me, why?" Or when? In the day when I call upon, I call, answer me speedily. He says, "Lord, I need help, and please do it now." For the time to favor Zion, Israel is come. The time of the help I need is now. God, I'm in trouble and I have little time. And what a contrast that is to a God who is not hurried, who is not worried, who is not poor, who is in fact infinite. The psalmist says in verse 11, "My days are like a shadow that declineth. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. Of old," verse 25, "thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They," the heavens, "shall perish, but thou shalt endure." Verse 27, "but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." So there's a contrast between my need and God's ability, my trouble and God's power, my limit on time and God's eternal ability and agency. God is never worried. God is never hurried. Friend, you are needy. The truth is, whether we know it or not, we may have good days where we forget, but you are needy. I am needy. The question today is, do you know it? And do you know who to ask? God helps those who ask, because prayer is for those who are needy and who know it.